University of Maryland, fearless ideas.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Today, we're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls and talk about some of the big issues in the news. We heard about the vote today on net neutrality. The NPR News mentioned it just a moment ago. Amy Goodman mentioned it, too. And also, there is a growing belief by some that the Republicans are going to maneuver to try to remove Robert Mueller from the Russia investigation. So we're going to talk about that later on. And also, the president is about to see what's in that tax bill. They're still working on it. We're going to talk about that, too. So that's all coming up today on Radioactivity. Music from Oliver Mitikudzi. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Well, generous tax cuts for corporations and the wealthiest Americans would be delivered in a sweeping overhaul of tax laws under a new agreement crafted by Republicans in Congress. Middle and low-income families would receive smaller tax cuts, though President Trump and Republican leaders have billed the package as a huge benefit for the middle class. The agreement reached yesterday by House and Senate Republican leaders also calls for scrapping a major tax requirement of the Obamacare health law, a step toward the ultimate GOP goal of unraveling the Affordable Care Act. The agreement combines key elements of separate tax bills recently passed by the House and Senate, striking compromises on some of them. The Republicans are pushing to deliver the final legislation to Trump before Christmas. The business tax cuts would be permanent, but reductions for individuals would expire after a decade, saving money to comply with Senate budget rules. In all, the bill would cut taxes by about $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years, adding billions to the nation's debt. The legislation still being finalized would cut the top tax rate for the wealthiest earners, Trump among them, from 39.6% to 37%, slash the corporate income tax rate from 35% down to 21%, and allow homeowners to deduct interest only on the first $750,000 of a new mortgage. The standard deduction would be nearly doubled for $20,000 to $24,000 for married couples. Republicans view passage of the legislation as a political imperative, proving to voters that they can govern as the GOP fights to hold on to its majorities in the House and Senate in next year's elections. Republicans say they expect the package to increase economic growth, generating additional tax revenue, and lessening the hit to the $20 trillion deficit. But independent economists are not so optimistic. We heard what David K. Johnston said on Democracy Now! This morning. Let's listen to what Bernie Sanders said yesterday on the floor of the U.S. Senate. The independent from Vermont was talking about the Republican tax plan, and this is what he had to say, and I want to get your comments about this. Our phone number, 813-239-9663, and our email address is dj@wmnf.org, and we're going to try to get this play right now. Here is Bernie Sanders talking about the Republican tax plan yesterday on the floor of the Senate.
Everybody knows the Republican Party now controls the U.S. House, the U.S. Senate, and the White House. We also know that unless a budget agreement is reached by December 22nd, the United States government will shut down, which will cause serious harm to our country, including the men and women in the armed forces and our veterans. Mr. President, I do not know why the Republican Party, which controls all the branches of government, wants to shut our government down. I think that's wrong, and I think a shutdown will be very hurtful to people from coast to coast. Now, President Trump said earlier this year, he tweeted, quote, "Our country needs a good shutdown," end of quote. I strongly disagree. I don't think we need a good shutdown. I think we need to reach an agreement on a budget which works for the middle class of our country and not just the wealthiest people. Mr. President, it is no great secret that we are living in a nation which has almost unprecedented income and wealth inequality, at least since the 1920s. We have the top one-tenth of 1% now owning almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. I don't believe that now is the time to give massive tax breaks to the wealthiest people in this country in a horrific tax bill, and then at the end of 10 years, raise taxes on 83 million middle-class families. I think it makes no sense. Mr. President, can we have order in the...
I'd ask colleagues to take their conversations off the floor.
Mr. President, I don't think it makes much sense to be passing a tax bill which gives 62% of the benefits to the top 1%. And apparently it is not good enough for my Republican colleagues that corporate America today is enjoying record-breaking profits and that the CEOs of large corporations are earning more than 300 times what their employees make. What the tax bill would do is give over $1 trillion in tax breaks to large profitable corporations at a time when already one out of five of these major corporations are paying nothing in taxes. That's apparently not good enough. Need to lower taxes for large corporations even more. Right now, as we speak, legislation is being written behind closed doors by the House Freedom Caucus and other members of the extreme right wing to provide a massive increase in funding for the Pentagon for the rest of the fiscal year, while only providing temporary and inadequate funding for the needs of the working families of this country, including education, affordable housing, nutrition, environmental protections, and other vital programs. In other words, what we have seen over the last year is a Republican effort to throw 30 million people off of health insurance. What we then see is a Republican effort to give $1 trillion in tax breaks to the top 1% and large corporations, and at the end of 10 years, raise taxes on middle-class families. And now what we are seeing on the part of the Republican Party is an effort to increase military spending by $54 billion while ignoring the needs of a struggling middle class. Mr. President, we have got to get our priorities right, and maybe, just maybe, we have to start listening to what the American people want, not just what wealthy campaign contributors want. In terms of the Republican so-called health care bill, the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, massive opposition from the American people. In terms of this tax bill, Mr. President, in case you haven't seen the last few polls, massive opposition to a tax bill which gives incredible tax breaks to people who don't need it and raises taxes on the middle class. Maybe, just maybe, we start paying attention to the needs of working families. For a start, let us be clear that ever since the passage of the Budget Control Act of 2011, we have operated, Democrats and Republicans have agreed to operate with parity. That means if you're going to increase military spending, you increase programs that meet the needs of working families, domestic spending. There was parity in 2011 and parity three times after, and parity must continue. It is not acceptable to be talking about a huge increase in military spending and not funding the needs of a shrinking middle class that desperately needs help. in terms of education, in terms of nutrition, and so many other areas. Furthermore, the American people are quite clear. They want us to move toward comprehensive immigration reform, and they understand that it would be a terrible, terrible, terrible thing to do to say to 800,000 young people who have lived, in some cases, in most cases, their entire lives in the United States of America, to simply say to those people, we're ending the DACA program, you're going to lose your legal status, you're not going to be able to go to school, you're not going to be able to hold a job, you're not going to be able to be in the military, we're taking away the legal status that you now have, and you'll be subject to deportation. That is not what the American people want. They want to continue the DACA program, and in fact, they want comprehensive immigration reform. And now is the time to deal with that. And I am happy to say that, in fact, on this issue, there are a growing number of Republicans in the House and in the Senate who understand that in America, you're not going to throw 800,000 of our brightest young people serving in the military, holding important jobs, out of this country by withdrawing their legal status. Mr. President, I have been deeply involved, as Senator Blunt has and others, in the Community Health Center program, which is so important for the people of our country. 27 million Americans today receive their health care through community health centers, which provide not only primary care, provide mental health counseling, so important today, provide dental care, and provide low-cost prescription drugs. But while my Republican colleagues have been busy trying to throw 30 million people off of health insurance, while they've been busy trying to give $1 trillion in tax breaks to the rich and large corporations, somehow they have not had the time to extend the CHIP program or the community health center programs. Now, how in God's name can we be talking about tax breaks for billionaires and not extending a health insurance program for the children of our country? If the CHIP program is not reauthorized, 9 million children in working families will lose their health insurance. Let us get our priorities right. Let us immediately pass legislation extending and funding the CHIP program and the Community Health Center program. Mr. President, in the Midwest, as you well know, and all over this country, we have a major crisis in terms of pensions. So many of our older workers are scared to death about retiring because they have very little or nothing in the bank as they end their work careers. If Congress does not act soon, the earned pension benefits of more than 1.5 million workers and retirees in multi-employer pension plans could be cut by up to 60%. People who have worked their entire lives, people who have put money into a pension program, people who have given up wage increases in order to gain decent pensions, now stand the possibility of seeing their pensions cut by up to 60%. How can we do that? How do you tell somebody who's worked their entire lives, who was looking forward to a decent retirement, that we're going to cut their pensions by up to 60%? We cannot do that. When a worker is promised a pension benefit after a lifetime of hard work, that promise must be kept. Congress needs to act before the end of the year to make sure that no one in America in a multi-employer pension plan will see their pension cut. Yeah, I also think that's more important than tax breaks for billionaires. We need to make a down payment on universal child care in my state of Vermont, all over this country. Increasingly difficult for working families to find high-quality, affordable child care. We must, in my view, double the funding for the Child Care and Development Block Grant to provide child care assistance for 226,000 more children and move towards universal child care for every kid in America. What the social scientists tell us is there is no better investment than investing in early childhood education. Every dollar we invest there is paid back many times over by kids doing better, at school, by kids getting out and getting jobs and becoming taxpayers. Mr. President, there is another crisis in this country that has to be dealt with. 10 years ago, Congress passed the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program to support Americans who enter public service careers, teachers, nurses, firefighters, public police officers, social workers, and military personnel. One of the absurdities that exists in America today is that we have tens of millions of Americans who are paying outrageous interest rates on their student debt. People who have done the right thing by trying to get the best education they could are now being punished because they went to college, went to graduate school, by having to pay a significant part of their income back to the government in terms of their student debt. Congress must address this issue, and there is legislation to make sure that at the very least, if you are prepared to go into public service work, you want to be a teacher, a nurse, a firefighter, a police officer, a social worker, if you want to go into the military, we will forgive your debt. That is an issue that should be dealt with before the end of the year. Mr. President, we have a crisis in terms of our rural infrastructure, and I come from a rural state. In the year 2017, soon to be 2018, how does it happen that in rural communities all over America, there are inadequate broadband capabilities? How do you start a small business in a small town if you don't have good quality broadband? How do the kids do well in school if they can't gain access to the internet? This is the United States of America. We should not be trailing countries all over the world who have better broadband access at lower cost than we do. If we want to grow rural America, if we want our kids to stay in rural America, we have got to deal with the collapsing infrastructure in this country, and especially in rural America. Mr. President, I don't have to tell you, because Ohio has been hit hard, as has Vermont, New Hampshire, all over this country. We have a terrible, terrible epidemic in terms of opioid addiction. I just, you know, I'm trying to deal with this issue in the state of Vermont. I know it's severe in Ohio. We have got to be adequately funding programs which focus on prevention, making sure that our young people do not get trapped into a life of addiction. We have to be providing the kinds of treatment that people need. We cannot ignore this. This is an epidemic that is sweeping this country. More people will die this year from opioid overdoses than died during the entire war in Vietnam. We've got to adequately fund treatment and prevention for the epidemic that we're seeing in terms of opioids. We've got to keep our promises to our veterans. We have now tens of thousands of positions at the Veterans Administration that have not been filled, and we need to make sure that they are filled so that the veterans of our country, when they go into the VA, get the high-quality care in a timely manner that they are entitled to. Mr. President, there was an article, I think it was in the Washington Post a couple of weeks ago, talked about the fact that 10,000 people, died in the last year waiting for a decision on Social Security disability benefits. In other words, you have people who desperately need these benefits. They apply for these benefits through the Social Security Administration, and they wait and they wait and they wait, and unbelievably, in the last year, 10,000 people died while they were waiting for a decision from the Social Security Administration. And this has everything to do with the fact that there have been budget cuts in recent years that have been significant and have resulted in the loss of more than 10,000 employees in the Social Security Administration, the closing of 64 field offices, and reduced hours in many others. In Vermont, one field office has seen its staffing cut by 30%. We have got to adequately fund the Social Security Administration so our elderly and our disabled can get due process in terms of the benefits that they filed. Mr. President, in 2016, the National Park Service recorded over 330 million visits to national parks and over $11 billion in deferred maintenance. In other words, our national parks are very, very popular, but they are not getting the maintenance work that they need. Meanwhile, the president wants to double fees for people visiting our beautiful national parks. This is an issue that we must deal with. Bottom line here is we are coming toward the end of the year, and we have got a lot of work to do. But the work that we do has got to start reflecting the needs of the working people of this country, not just the billionaire class. We cannot give $54 billion more to the military and ignore the needs of our children, our elderly, our sick, our poor. We have got to come up with a budget proposal which works for all of us and not just wealthy campaign contributors. And as a member of the Budget Committee, I intend to be very active in that process.
Bernie Sanders on the floor of the U.S. Senate yesterday arguing against the Republican tax plan. We still don't know the complete details. They're trickling out. At some point in the next day or two, we expect that there will be some sort of formal announcement about what is actually in that Republican tax plan. We know the outlines. We've heard the outlines for several weeks. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address here if you want to comment about what Sanders has been talking about. You can comment at dj@wmnf.org. I want to shift gears a little bit and add one more thing to the possible conversation. That is the possible firing of Robert Mueller, who is heading the investigation into Donald Trump and possible Russian interference in the election. Just reading from the CNN website, the second highest ranking official of the Justice Department stepped back into the national spotlight yesterday to say that he believes there's no good cause for firing Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller, and that to date no one has asked him to remove the special counsel. There were some heated exchanges yesterday on the House Judiciary Committee. We're going to hear first a report from CNN about what happened, and then we'll hear one of the heated exchanges featuring a Republican congressman from Ohio. But first of all, let's listen to a CNN report about what happened yesterday as the Deputy Attorney General Robert Rosenstein told the House Judiciary Committee. He says that there's no good reason to fire Robert Mueller from the investigation into Russia.
President Trump's Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein found himself taking incoming fire from members of the president's party today, defending the Russia investigation and special counsel Robert Mueller, who he appointed from Republican charges of bias.
I think it would be very difficult, Congressman, for anybody to find somebody better qualified for this job. Director Mueller has, throughout his lifetime, been a dedicated and respected and heroic public servant. I believe he was an ideal choice for this task.
This is unbelievable. And I'm here to tell you, Mr. Rosenstein, I think the public trust in this whole thing is gone.
Under relentless questioning by members of the House Judiciary Committee, Rosenstein repeatedly said he sees no reason to remove Mueller.
Have you seen good cause to fire Special Counsel Mueller?
No.
And he suggested to Democrats on the committee that the president has not pressured him to do so either.
I am not going to be discussing my communications with the president, but I can tell you that nobody has communicated to me a desire to remove Robert Mueller.
Are you afraid of President Trump firing you?
No, I'm not, Congressman.
Rosenstein also dismissed any idea President Trump asked him to pledge his loyalty, something former FBI Director James Comey suggested Trump had wanted from him.
Is it ever appropriate for the President of the United States to demand that Department of Justice official or FBI director take a loyalty pledge?
I don't have any opinion about that, Congressman. Nobody's asked me to take a loyalty pledge other than the oath of office.
Rosenstein's staunch defense of the special counsel came as Republicans accused Mueller's team of being influenced by politics, suggesting the special counsel had hired partisans looking to take down President Trump. Congressman Steve Chabot ticked through a list of contributions he says some members of Mueller's team have made to Democrats over multiple election cycles, declaring it evidence of bias.
How with a straight face can you say that this group of Democrat partisans are unbiased and will give President Trump a fair shake?
And Republican members pointed to newly disclosed anti-Trump text messages between two employees at the FBI. Agent Peter Strzok, who helped lead the Clinton email server investigation, and FBI lawyer Lisa Page. The two exchanged hundreds of texts throughout the presidential campaign in 2016 when they were allegedly having an affair. Page texting in March 2016, "God, Trump is a loathsome human." Strzok responded, "Yet he may win." Another exchange said, "Oh my God, he's an idiot. He's awful."
That Director Mueller.
Strzok had been assigned to Mueller's investigation, but was removed by Mueller this summer when he learned about the text. Rosenstein stressed the inspector general is now investigating those messages, along with the handling of the Clinton email server investigation, pushing back on Republican calls to immediately appoint a second special counsel.
If we believe there was a basis for an investigation or a special counsel, I can assure you that we would act.
Under questioning by Democrats, Rosenstein pointed out that Mueller was appointed FBI director by both Republican and Democratic presidents and confirmed unanimously by the Senate, saying that political affiliations or opinions are different than bias.
That's just part of a CNN report that aired last night about the hearings yesterday at the House Judiciary Committee with Robert, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein talking about Mueller investigation. And as you can, as we're about to hear, there's incredible pressure on Rosenstein to either hire a second independent counsel to look at claims of bias within the Mueller investigation, or perhaps go even further. We'll talk about that in a moment. Now, here's our phone number, 813-239-9663, our email address, dj@wmnf.org. Some of the toughest questioning yesterday at the House Judiciary Committee came from Jim Jordan, who's a congressman from Ohio. Let's listen in on just part of his questions to Rosenstein. Here's a Republican House member, Jim Jordan, grilling Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein.
"Protect our country at many levels," says it with all the humility he could muster. "I can protect our country at many levels." This guy thought he was Super Agent James Bond at the FBI. This is obvious. "I'm afraid we can't take that risk. We can't. There's no way we can let the American people make Donald Trump the next president. I got to protect our country." This is unbelievable. And I'm here to tell you, Mr. Rosenstein, I think the public trust in this whole thing is gone. So it seems to me you got two things you can do. You're the guy in charge. You're the guy who picked Mueller. You're the guy who wrote the memo saying why he needed to fire Comey. You're the guy in charge. You could disband the Mueller special prosecutor, and you can do what we've all called for. Appoint a second special counsel to look into this, to look into Peter Strzok, Bruce Ohr, everything else we've learned in the last several weeks.
Yes, Congressman, and I can assure you that I consider it very important to make sure the thorough review is done, and our Inspector General is doing a thorough review. That's how we found those text messages as part of that review.
Let me, you've given that answer like 15 times. Let me ask you this. Are you concerned? I mean, this is what a lot of Americans are believing right now, and I certainly do, that the Comey FBI and the Obama Justice Department worked with one campaign to go after the other campaign. That's what everything points to. Think about what we've learned in the last several weeks. We first learned they paid for the dossier, then we learned about Peter Strzok, and last week we learned about Bruce Ohr and his wife Nell. I mean, this is unbelievable. So what's it going to take to get a special counsel to answer these questions and find out, was Peter Strzok really up to what I think he was?
I think it's important to understand, Congressman, we have an inspector general who has $500 million budget. And this is what he does. He investigates allegations of misconduct involving department employees. That review that he is conducting is what turned up those text messages. It will also involve interviews of those persons and of other witnesses.
We're looking forward to his report, and we've met with Mr. Horowitz, and we're anxiously awaiting that report. But that doesn't dismiss the fact that the country thinks we need a second special counsel. 20 members of this committee, the Judiciary Committee, with primary jurisdiction over the Justice Department, thinks we need a second special counsel. All kinds of senators think we need a special counsel. What fact pattern do you have to have? What kind of text message do you have to see before you say it's time for a second special counsel?
I want to assure you, Congressman, as I think the Attorney General explained, we take very seriously the concerns of 20 members of this committee or one member of this committee, but we have a responsibility to make an independent determination, and we will.
I thank the chair.
The chair recognizes.
Well, that was just part of what happened yesterday at the House Judiciary Committee, as the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein was being questioned about the Mueller investigation. As you heard there, the congressman who was asking those questions, the Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio, was making the point that he thinks that the special prosecutor Mueller's investigation should be disbanded. What do you think about that? 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. The allegation being that there are partisans who are opposed to President Trump who are part of the investigation, or at least in the past have been part of the investigation that Mueller is conducting into Donald Trump and his possible connection to Russia and his past business ties. 813-239-9663. That was just one of, I think there were at least a dozen Republican members of Congress yesterday who were grilling Rosenstein. Among those grilling him, Ron DeSantis, who wants to run for governor here in Florida. He's an East Coast Florida Republican congressman. Also, Matt Gaetz from the Tallahassee area and the Florida Panhandle area, Republican congressman from Florida, grilling Rosenstein yesterday. It is big news on the Fox network, but I'm wondering what your take is on it. Our phone number, 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. Jefferson Morley has a really interesting piece on Alternet. He says there is a six-step plan to fire Mueller. I'll just read what the headlines on this. These are the six steps that Jefferson Morley, who's been a guest on this show, he's actually an expert on the JFK assassination and a former reporter for the Washington Post. So these are the six steps, he says, that are in the works to fire Robert Mueller. One, trash Mueller's reputation among Republicans. Two, unify Republican media around scandals involving Hillary Clinton. Three, link the Clinton scandals to Mueller and export the story to more mainstream media outlets. And then the next step, number five, wait for a moment of strength. And number six, the final step, find a Justice Department official willing to fire Mueller. And you could hear the pressure on Rosenstein yesterday to fire Mueller, pretty evident if you watch those hearings. 813-239-9663. James Lyles is our phone producer today, and we're going to take some phone calls. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Kevin, who's in Bradenton. Kevin, thanks for calling. What would you like to comment about?
Well, hey, Rob, great show, by the way. First of all, I think that when that congressman said the American people have lost their trust in the investigation, I think that that would be, he's talking about the Republican people in this country, maybe, who watch Fox News and buy into that. I don't know how many objective people really think that, you know, go along with that line of thinking. I believe the last thing that you said about the guy that wrote the article on the Alternet pretty much said it better than I could. But, you know, I mean, it seems obvious to me that, you know, it's mostly the Republicans and the ones that believe anything that comes out of Republicans' mouths. And, you know, while I've got you on that subject on Republicans and their beliefs, I'd like to just ask if a true Republican, maybe, you know, Charlie the Plumber or Nick or somebody could call in and tell me that I'm wrong about these other things that Republicans actually believe. And let's start with, you know, since the tax cut and tax bill is in the news, let's start with trickle-down economic theory. And see, you know, how I'd like people to call in and tell me that I'm wrong, that, you know, that I don't believe that works. But if they have some evidence that it does, you know, I'd like to hear it. And number two, regarding the opioid crisis, you know, Trump has already said just say no, and that's the answer to that particular epidemic. And then number three, they also believe that climate change is a hoax. So, you know, maybe they've got the one scientist out there that, you know, does say that they can believe in. And finally, you know, this belief in privatization, or that, you know, the Ryan belief that the free market is infallible because they've got, you know, this mythical invisible hand that is supposed to guide the free market in the direction of of what is good. And, you know, as a working stiff, well, when I was working, I kind of, you know, I read some Ayn Rand, and, you know, I know where she got a lot of those thoughts from, you know, Adam Smith, the book that he wrote about capitalism, what, you know, years ago. But The Invisible Hand to me, and you know, forgive me, I don't know how else to put this, but I'm not going to say a bad word, is basically a hand, all right, but it's a hand that is giving the middle finger to the working class of this country. So
all
that's
right.
My belief.
Kevin, like thanks a lot.
Okay.
It would be interesting, I think, to get a scholar on from about Adam Smith, because the views of Adam Smith, at least as he wrote them in The Wealth of Nations, are not the views of Ayn Rand. There's quite a conflict there. And I'm not going to divert the conversation today to talk about that, but if we got, I will look for an Adam Smith scholar, because it is interesting to juxtapose what Adam Smith thought at the time, especially about transparency, and what Ayn Rand thinks and followers of Ayn Rand think today, like Paul Ryan. 813-239-9663. Kevin, thank you so much. And let's go to Sam in Seminole. Sam, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, hi, Rob. Good morning. Hey, Rob, it just seems like this is the typical plan of the Republican Party, and that is to discredit and distract. And going after Mueller is accomplishing both of those things at the same time, simply because with the tax plan and other things that are kind of controversial against the Republican Party right now, it's good to throw up a distraction to take people's mind off of that. And also, it's good to discredit Mueller, because maybe he's doing just too good of a job, and they need to maybe get him out of there and put somebody else in who's not going to do quite such a good job. And last thing, Rob, I don't really understand what the conflict of interest is with the two FBI people. What does that have to do with the Mueller investigation and what his team is doing? And that's all I have to say.
All right.
I just wanted to say thank you for the show.
Thanks, Sam. From the Republican point of view and the Fox News point of view, the conflict is this, that they think that it's not just these two people who've been identified and removed from the investigation, but they think that the entire Mueller investigation is riddled with political partisans. And you'd have to believe that. I mean, I've got a few friends who are FBI agents. I can tell you that most of them are not Democrats. they tend to be quite conservative people. But you'd have to believe that the Mueller investigation is riddled with partisan Democrats and therefore incapable of conducting a fair investigation. That's what they think. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, thanks a lot for your call. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. First of all, thank you so much for playing Bernie Sanders. And when you hear the things he regularly says and how he says them, you realize he could have won the general election and we wouldn't have Trump. He's one of the few true progressives in the U.S. Congress. And I wish that Hillary's people hadn't sabotaged him.
And Gary, let me just interject. I'm not going to take away from your time, but these FBI agents who are the subject of this Fox News, you know, Republican kind of flare-up, they also said bad things about Bernie Sanders in those texts, which most of the media is not reporting. So
you and I are often psychically linked, because I was going to bring that up, that the hit job against Bernie by the mainstream corporate Dems, the Democratic National Committee. Just yesterday, one of those mainstreamers floated a thing that said, can we find anybody to franken Bernie, to accuse Bernie of sexual harassment and get rid of him? It's scary what's happened to the Democratic Party. But I got two other quick things, and one of them goes way back to your Helen Caldicott show. The first thing is about what Trump and them are trying to do to Mueller. It's been done before. If you look at the history of Al Capone and even people like Nixon, they attack the investigators and prosecutors. They openly challenge the FBI, especially guys like Al Capone. that would, you know, make fun of the FBI and say, hey, G-man, you think you can bring me down, et cetera, et cetera. So this is nothing new for a gangster, and I consider Trump and his people to be gangsters, to attack the police agencies and the FBI, et cetera. That final thing is Helen Caldicott. Amazing you have her on. She's a worldwide hero. She mentioned something briefly about how artificial intelligence computers could just go off on their own and take over our nuclear arsenal network and do launches and stuff like that. And that, you know, that wasn't really the focus of your conversation. But if you listen to the secular humanist scientist hero, Sam Harris, he had a podcast in which one of the leaders of the artificial intelligence robot industry said, of course, eventually, these artificial intelligence robots will believe that they have consciousness. They will develop egos. They are going to be much more powerful physically and in their linked computer network brains than we are, and they're not going to be controllable. This is a guy from the AI industry and who warned people that AI was a genie that should not have been let out of the bottle, just like nuclear weapons, and that it's not a science fiction apocalypse scenario like that great movie that's called Ex Machina, that these robots are one day going to be like RoboCops and androids and replicants from Blade Runner, and they're going to be looking at us the way we used to look at slaves. So it's a scary thing, and you always bring up great stuff, and I know I've gone on and on, so I'll shut up. Have a great holiday.
All right. Happy holidays to you, Gary. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You know, to Gary's point, I am planning to do a show about artificial intelligence, just a little bit different, not on nuclear weapons, but on self-guided independent weapons that are no longer human-controlled. And I'm still reaching out. There's a group of scientists that, to Gary's point, that are trying to stop the development of these weapons because all countries are trying to develop independent, autonomous weapons that are no longer human-controlled and that can go out and kill independently. Scary stuff. We're not there yet. I know, I think it was on All Things Considered the other day, there was a story hinting at this, but not going very deep into it. So that's one of the plans for a future show here on Radioactivity. So, Gary, thanks. Thanks a lot for your phone call, 813-239-9663. Now, here's Chip's take. He says that the Republicans are proposing such a heinous plan, never mind passing it, should be cause for a complete demise of the GOP. The party of fiscal responsibility? Question mark. More like the party of hypocrisy, lies, corporations, and the uber-rich. However, if Democrats don't take a strong stand against the tax plan, they also need to go away, writes Chip, who's in Tampa. 813-239-9663 is our phone number now. Donald writes this one, kind of enigmatic, not sure where he's coming from. He says, as the noose gets tighter, the screams get louder. And Donald, if you want to just write back and tell us where you're going with that, 813-239-9663. And Joe writes this, there was an African-American congresswoman yesterday who went over a list of what the FBI has done over the last 30 years. If you could play that, it's great. I can't remember who it was. All right, Joe, I will look for that. I did not see that part of the hearing, so that's my fault. 813-239-9663. And let's go to Glenn, who's in Clearwater. Hi, Glenn. You're on MNF. What would you like to comment about?
Yeah, about the congressman who was cross-examining Deputy Justice Department head. Isn't that what he was doing, a form of obstruction of justice? In other words, it's a strategy to obstruct the justice of having this independent investigator do his job. Isn't that the same thing that investigated on Trump?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like you might be able to make a case for that.
Mueller could expand his investigation to include that particular congressman.
You know, I think what Rosenstein was getting was that there is an inspector general. So if there is a problem within the investigation, it can be taken to the inspector general and that it can be resolved. But it doesn't mean that you have to hire yet another independent counsel or as Congressman Jordan was saying there, he wanted to disband the special prosecutor's investigation. I don't think you have to go that far. If there's a problem, take it to the inspector general. If there's somebody who's a partisan whose only motive in the investigation is to come up with a partisan attack on President Trump, that person doesn't belong in there if that's their only motive for working in that job. Mueller is a Republican, right? And I think by mainstream, or what we used to call mainstream Republicans, is a pretty reliable guy.
The desperation of such kind of attacks on Mueller suggests real fear, real paranoia about where this investigation, what that this investigation could conceivably uncover. For example, how can it be that all of the questions about Trump's tax returns and his failure to expose them to public scrutiny has simply seemed to have disappeared off the airwaves? I mean, I assume, but I don't know for sure, that Mueller's abilities would include an ability to examine those tax records.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's part of the hostility by those Republicans yesterday at the House Judiciary Committee, because they think that the Mueller investigation has gone too far and gone too wide. And I think all we have to do is look back at Kenneth Starr's investigation into Whitewater and how it morphed into an investigation into President Clinton's private life, and then got him, tripped up on giving a false testimony during a deposition. So that wasn't the original intent of Starr's investigation, yet that's what they got Clinton on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your show. Keep it up. It's wonderful. Take care now.
All right, Glenn. Thanks a lot.
I'll have to make these comments and get the public's opinion. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And Ken writes this. He says, this is from 813. Thanks for playing Senator Sanders' speech. You do realize that you do not, that, you know, if I could read this right, you do realize, do you not, that Hillary Clinton did not want people to hear him speak, correct Paul from Tampa. I don't know what Hillary Clinton did or didn't do to prevent Bernie Sanders from speaking. Maybe, Paul, if you could add to that, we've never had a problem bringing you the voice of Bernie Sanders, and we've done that over and over again, as we did bring you the voice of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and many other people who ran for election last year. So I'm not quite sure what you're getting at, Paul, but thanks for your email. And then Ken and Sefner writes, the six steps mentioned are patterned after steps involved in a coup. These folks are pernicious. The way to stop the coup is massive demonstrations, surround Congress, and prevent the plotters from leaving. Well, I'm wondering how you would react if Robert Mueller was fired. What would be your thoughts, your reaction? What would you do if Robert Mueller was fired? If this is indeed what the Republicans were getting at during yesterday's hearing in the House Judiciary Committee, if that is one of the things that they're intending, a lot of people believe that's what they are intending. What would you do if Robert Mueller was fired? 813-239-9663. Matthew's in Sarasota. Hi, Matthew. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I just, you read somebody's mail. It said, as the news gets tighter, the screams get louder.
The noose. You're right, right.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out. Yeah, it's the noose. The news, I thought it was a good pun.
Okay, I got it. I got it.
Whether we got it or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's it?
That's all.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, Matthew. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. Let's go to Ed. Hi, Ed. Are you in St. Pete?
Hi, Rob. As far as Republicans thinking that a Hillary Clinton supporter, FBI agent, cannot do a proper investigation, it seems that that's exactly what they want for Trump. They want a Trump supporter to investigate Trump. I mean, they want to have it both ways. If they don't trust a Hillary supporter to investigate Hillary, how can they claim that it'd be fine to have a Trump supporter investigate Trump? And the thing about FBI investigators, regardless of their political inclination, and who didn't have an opinion last year, one way or the other, you can't create evidence. A Hillary Clinton supporter FBI agent may be very hardworking to find evidence against Trump, but he's not going to create it out of thin air. So I think that what's happening to me is very scary, is that there is probably something there to be found. And in order, because they have a president that is vulnerable, they are damaging the credibility of the FBI and the Department of Justice. It's very serious, very harmful to our nation. I just am so ashamed of what the Republican Party has become.
You raise a good point, and I just thought of this, that if we go back and look at Ken Starr's record, the special counsel who was appointed during the Clinton administration, my recollection was that he was already a conservative law professor and had a conservative track record. I'm sure Democrats complained at the time about him going too far. But I don't remember Republicans complaining about him at the time. Who among us is squeaky clean that we haven't voted for some partisan official or supported some partisan official in some way, whether you're an FBI agent or, a member of Congress or, a radio reporter? Nobody's squeaky clean. We all have our opinions. And your point is brilliant. You can't make up evidence. The evidence has to be there. Otherwise, when this comes to a trial, the evidence is not going to stand up in court and it's not going to be able to prove the guilt of the person that you're trying to prove the guilt of.
And I was watching the hearing yesterday of the FBI Deputy Director Rosenstein, and someone made a very good point that Director Wray is a Republican donor. And, they can't have it both ways.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Rob. All right, Ed. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. And let's go to Pam, who's in Dade City. Hi, Pam. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Rob. Listen, the only reason that I've been able to sleep at night was because the special investigator was appointed. I yelled and screamed to get that done. And I tell you, if he had taken off this case, I'll be back in the street yelling and screaming. I will march wherever I'm able to march, and I think so will a lot of others. That's all I have to say. It would be an abomination if he gets fired. And again, I think people will take it to the streets.
All right, Pam, thanks a lot. Thanks.
Thank you.
And that was a question I asked a few minutes ago. If it turns out that the Republicans are bent on firing Robert Mueller, in yesterday's hearings, the intent was to put pressure on the Deputy Attorney General to do that firing. If that was the intent of yesterday's hearings at the House Judiciary Committee, what would you do if Mueller were fired? Would you cheer such a move? Or would you do like Pam said that she would do, and that is, would you take to the streets? So would it be an issue that would be inconsequential to you, or would it be of huge consequence, and would you fly directly to Washington, D.C. and join others to surround the White House? I don't know. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. This person named Justice writes, artificial intelligence is only a problem in a system of a down that places all value on profit, which of course leads to no value for human beings and ultimate power for those who don't use money anymore. So that's Justice's email out there. And here's somebody writing, unsigned. It says, do you not recall last year's Democratic primaries and the leaked Democratic National Committee emails that they wanted Sanders to drop out early? Well, there's no doubt that there was a bias among Democratic Party insiders at the top level against Bernie Sanders. There's no doubt about that. But whether or not they wanted to stop him from speaking anywhere, I'm not sure I see any proof of that, anonymous, but maybe you've got some proof. We never had problems, and we carried a lot of speeches by a lot of the people that were running for office last year, And we had never had problems getting access to speeches by the various means that public broadcasters have. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. We'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned. Mitch Perry is coming up next with the Midpoint program. And thanks to James Lyles, he was our phone producer today. You're listening to the Bay Area's community radio station. This is WMNF 88.5 FM. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for listening to Radioactivity. Now we're going to go up to Washington, D.C. and get the latest news. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota. Thanks for listening. And now comes the NPR news.